Hi, I'm Mallory Nye, and welcome to episode 16 of the Religion Bites podcast series. In this episode, I'm going to introduce the approach of post-colonialism in the study of religion. That is, in what ways is history and the contemporary world relevant, not only to the topic of religion, but also to how we analyse and understand religion. First of all, thanks to all of you who are listening to this podcast. Since I set it up earlier this year, in March 2015, the audience has been steadily growing, and so by now, in October, there have been over 1,000 downloads of the podcast. The last episode on the problem of belief has been downloaded over 100 times since it was released just a couple of weeks ago. These are still very early days at the moment. I'm just getting started in my exploration of the study of religion, so do please stay tuned. If you haven't done so already, then of course you can subscribe to this podcast for free on iTunes or on Stitcher, and every episode has show notes on my website at mallorynye.com/religionbites. And if you're enjoying this, then you might also want to listen to one of my other podcasts on history, titled Histories Inc., where I explore some related issues around my interests. Histories Inc. was launched just a couple of months ago in August, and is up to episode 8 at the moment. So far, in the Histories Inc. podcast, I've been exploring the broad themes of the series, including the European colonial encounters and issues from the 16th century onwards, the various ways in which we can understand the Protestant Reformations and the impact of those processes, the ongoing and long-standing relationship between Europe and the Islamic world, including the history of the idea of Europe, the immensely uncomfortable history of European enslavement of Africans in America, and the development of the Scottish nation and its impact in the contemporary world. The Histories Inc. podcast is named after the quote by Mark Twain, which goes, "The very ink with which all history is written is merely fluid prejudice." It's a complex idea, but largely relies on the approach that the telling of history is an examination of prejudice, of understanding and misunderstanding, by those who take part in history, by those who write it and set it down, and indeed by us, the reader or consumer, as we seek to engage with history in the present. So, if you haven't yet tuned into the Histories Inc. podcast, you can also find it on iTunes and Stitcher, or otherwise on my own website at mallorynye.com/histories-inc. I hope to see you there. And of course, if you want to keep up to date, you can subscribe to these podcasts on iTunes, or otherwise follow me on Twitter. My username is mallorynye, all one word. So today on Religion Bites, I'm going to explore the very wide topic of post-colonialism and the study of religion. You may or may not have come across this approach before. When I was first starting out as an academic in the late 80s and early 90s, the term wasn't used very much at all. It's only in the past 20 to 30 years that the field has developed and become what it is today. But as a student, I did have the fortune of being set to read the now classic book by the late Edward Said called Orientalism, which is largely credited with setting off the field and is now very influential through a number of disciplines in the humanities and social sciences, including literary studies, cultural studies, sociology, politics, and the study of religion too, to an increasing degree. For some, postcolonialism is merely a buzzword, perhaps like intersectionality, that is heard frequently but little understood. For others, it's quite simply a methodology, a way of looking to approach a series of questions about a topic, or perhaps as a description of the composition and power relations of the contemporary world. In historical terms, perhaps, postcolonialism is the world that has superseded the colonial era, whenever that may have been. For those who identify most strongly with the term postcolonialism, however, it is much more than any of these. It's a framework that helps to generate the key questions of our studies and to contextualise not only what we observe and think about, but also what we are doing as scholars looking at the topic of religion. Postcolonialism is certainly a historical tool for analysis, and it relies on asking questions about and trying to analyse a series of unequal power relations. Postcolonialism relies on other approaches, such as gender studies, studies of race and racism, and in particular approaches that examine issues of intersectionality between various categories such as race, class, gender, culture, language, and religion. But to get a handle on what postcolonialism does within the study of religion, it's probably best to try to explore what is meant by the term itself and how it's used. It's become increasingly clear that in recent years, there's been a growing awareness of issues of postcolonialism within the study of religion and culture. What this means in practice is not quite so clear. Historically, there's been a series of encounters that led to European expansion of interest, commerce, trade, and industrialization, and in many cases, the settlement of Europeans in many places outside of the borders of Europe. These colonial encounters were based on power, that is, the unequal power relations between the colonizers and those who were colonized and exploited. This was the basis of colonialism. It happened initially with the Spanish and British and other Europeans in North America and the Caribbean, the Portuguese and then the Dutch and the British in the Indian Ocean, and the British, French and Germans in Africa. Following the American Revolution, it also happened with the Americans, the USA, across the North American continent and into the Pacific Ocean. None of these countries still have empires, although continued long-term colonization has left European-derived populations in America, both North and South, South Africa and Australia. It has also left populations displaced by colonialism across the globe. The descendants of kidnapped Africans who were transported as slaves to America and the Caribbean, indentured labourers from India in East and South Africa, Southeast Asia, the Caribbean, and in the Pacific, such as Fiji, and Chinese populations in places such as Malaysia and Singapore. And then in the second half of the 20th century, the end of the formal colonial empires were also accompanied by large-scale movements of people from the former colonies, from India, Africa, the Philippines and the Caribbean, to the motherlands of Europe and America. And of course, during this post-colonial, after-colonial era, the European nations, including America, and also to a certain extent Canada and Australia, have also exerted continuing power and control across the globe. What this means in practice boils down to three main issues. First, those who are doing the study of religion in contexts in the non-Western world have by necessity to understand what is meant by such a contemporary post-colonial context. That is, firstly, how did European colonial history shape the context of the former colonial societies? And how has that changed in the contemporary era, which is now not so obviously and overtly colonial? Whether this is within India, other parts of Asia or in Africa, South America or elsewhere, what differences have the histories of colonialism, or colonialisms, made to local contexts? In particular, how have the particular religions and cultures of non-Western nations and societies been impacted and asserted their agencies in the wake of political interference and in some cases invasion and exploitation by powerful European societies? How have such colonial and now post-colonial contexts shaped both the local and the global? Within this, we then need to go on to ask questions about the relations between the rulers and the ruled. In particular, if we want to look back and understand the histories of the ruled, the colonial subjects, who are sometimes referred to within post-colonial studies as subalterns, how do we learn about them? When history has been written by the rulers about themselves, how do we find out about the subalterns' agency, or find and hear their voices? Thus, there is the classical question of post-colonial studies, framed by the writer Gayatri Spivak, can the subaltern speak? And can we hear what they said, given the lack of desire of colonial rulers to record subalterns' voices? Secondly, however, post-colonialism is not solely a study of the impact of colonialism on non-Western societies. The impact of colonialism in early centuries, and the transformation of colonialism in the 20th century to the present has had an impact that has been important right across the globe. We need to note the blindingly obvious. The colonial, and now the post-colonial, era was, and is, something that shaped and largely created the Western world, that is Europe, North America, and Australia. We cannot understand the West without understanding the colonial histories and thus also the post-colonial present. Europe itself must be provincialized, seen as dependent on the processes of colonialism. The colonizers, Britain, France, Spain, Holland, and the USA, and others, became changed by their colonialism. But this isn't only about history and the development of the political relationship and imbalance between the West and the non-West, i.e. the rest of the world, or we could say the West and the rest. The post-colonial approach is about how we think, how we've been taught to think, and the assumptions that we make and take for granted. The study of post-colonialism is also about challenging such assumptions, instead of relying on assumptions that are taken for granted. Systems of knowledge usually serve systems of power. We think about the world in a certain way, because there have been vested power relations that benefit from such thinking. We've seen a small example of that in the previous episode, with the reliance on the concept of belief in part as a legacy of the colonial project of categorizing non-Western religions and cultures. How is what we know, or what we think we know, the product of, and helps to serve, the interests of colonial power? West versus rest, colonialism, and the exploitation of non-Europeans. One result of this approach is that it expects us to ask different sorts of questions about what we are doing. If we are critiquing or rejecting the dominant views of the colonial powers, then how do we think if we don't think in ways that support such power relations? This isn't an easy task. It requires us to dislocate ourselves, making us learn to accept that we, whoever we are, don't necessarily have all the right answers, or even all the right questions. It requires us to delve deep into many layers of contextualizations, histories, and power relations. One very broad issue is that the history or histories of colonial encounters in themselves produce the contemporary interest in religion and religions in the forms that we know today. The questions that we are asking, and we hope to explore, are very much the result of those histories. There are many examples that we could use here to explore the subtleties and complexities of such a post-colonial approach. What we think we understand about, for example, Hinduism or Islam, are pulled apart and re-examined by such a post-colonial methodology. The book I mentioned earlier, called Orientalism by Edward Said, is a classic example of post-colonialism helping us to understand the study of Islam. In it, Said wrote an exploration of Western images and understandings of Islam, very often framing how Europeans see Islam and the Muslim world in particular terms, most particularly through exoticizing and denigrating both the idea of the religion of Islam and also the people who practice it, the Muslims. Thus, Islam has been seen by Europeans in terms of exotic women, harems, veils, face covers, and in terms of violence and barbarism. Without going into much detail, such colonial or orientalist imaginings of Islam have retained a lot of power in the present day. In different ways, the idea of Hinduism, and how most people understand Hinduism as a contemporary religion, came out of the British colonial encounter with India in the 18th and 19th centuries. Through certain processes, led largely by British experts, the idea of a unitary Hinduism came into being, which has now become a dominant and dominating assumption for most people who consider themselves Hindu, and for most people who try to understand the diversity of India's religious traditions. This was then developed by religious leaders from within the traditions, being thus labelled and understood as Hindus, figures such as Swami Vivekananda, Mahatma Gandhi, and many others, that then helped to frame certain expectations of the Hindu tradition as largely otherworldly and mystical, as similar to and different from the defining ideas of European religion, that is, Christianity. Similar approaches are made in studies of many other groups, cultures, and religions across the world, in such non-Western and post-colonial contexts. The themes and histories may differ from region to region, but similar trends and patterns often emerge. The politics of colonialism have helped to shape and create the contemporary world. In general, the colonialists often sought unity and coherence, imagining and creating coherence and systems either to help understand or control. The colonialists privileged texts over natives' voices and saw authority in established sources rather than the ephemeral, conflicting, and often seeming unintelligibility of the everyday and the local. In doing so, they created educational systems and powerful systems of knowledge and discourse that in themselves became self-replicating orthodoxies. And in doing so, it's now impossible to unpack what is the product of such colonial histories and what is the pristine and pre-colonial source. In conclusion, we can understand the post-colonial in various different ways. On a straightforward level, the post-colonial is a time. It refers to the contrast with the colonial era, roughly 1492 to 1945. Thus, the post-colonial is the era after the fall of the British and other European empires. It is the age of less obvious empires, such as US power and hegemony, the Cold War, Vietnam, Iraq, etc., and the rise of globalization. The post-colonial is also a geographical classification. It draws attention to non-European history and analysis. It aims to make us think less Eurocentrically. It emphasizes the rest rather than the West. The postcolonial is also a way of asking how the history of European and American colonialism has produced what we think we know. It challenges our categories and theories by dislocating our assumptions based on particular histories. Postcolonialism is an approach that asks and examines how the colonial histories changed the world. It isn't only about the colonial, now post-colonial societies. It is also how Europe itself is a product and beneficiary of this colonial and post-colonial history. Needless to say, there's a lot there to explore further. So, thanks again for listening. And I hope you found this a useful starting point for exploring the post-colonial as a key part of the study of religion. This episode is just a starting point. Like much of what I've been discussing in these early episodes, we will come back to the issues and explore them further in much more detail as the series progresses. I'll be putting up some helpful links and supporting information on my website at mallorynye.com/religionbites. And if you've got any questions or feedback, then it'd be great to hear from you, either through Twitter at MalloryNye or by email. See my website for details. I'm now going to take this postcolonial approach in one particular direction in the next episode, when I look at the idea of world religions, where I will in fact be dismissing the idea of world religions in a similar way to my dismissal of the problem of belief in my last episode. Once I've done that, my plan is to look at the idea of religion again, a term we've already seen as having a lot of problems, but which gets even more complicated when we try to unpack it historically and within the post-colonial context. But one step at a time. Next time on World Religions. I hope you'll join me for it soon. I'll see you there. Bye for now.